George Michael.
Well, you remember this was the weekend national anthem. George Michael would play it every Friday night. Well, he was one of the great personalities on WABC for many, many years. And ladies and gentlemen, we now welcome back to WABC Radio Royalty, King George Michael. How are you?
King George. I haven't heard it in a few days. I'll tell you what, Mark, it's great to be with you because the time that I had the good fortune to spend at WABC in the glory days from 1974 to 1980, it was just a tremendous time, and it was a constant battle against the disco. We really had ourselves a good time in the midst of a good war.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Saturday night, 6 to 10, we're doing your time period, aren't we?
Oh, yes, sir.
You did a Saturday night show, didn't you?
I did 6 to 10 Monday through Saturday. It was six nights a week, and as soon as I got off the air, I ran right over to Channel 7 to do the... To do the 11 o'clock news. It was quite a run.
Now, you were one of those guys who was looking towards something else. You wanted to be a sportscaster, and you were doing it very well back then. So you kind of knew, once you get to a certain age, you can't be a top 40 DJ anymore.
Well, here's where the problem is. Unlike a lot of guys, I loved the music. A lot of the guys just played it for the heck of it. I mean, their way of making it. I loved the music. I loved the artists. I knew Jimmy Pankow in Chicago. I knew... You know, Elton John was a friend. Mick Jagger and I had worked together, and John Lennon and I. So I loved the music. So
yeah.
I really got involved in it, and it meant the world to me. But I also knew that I loved doing my sports. And, you know, I'd worked with the Orioles. I'd been with the Islanders. And it was just a question of when I was going to leave. I mean, Mark, I could go back and be you today. I mean, I'd love to do rock and roll right now.
Well, you must have been offered this from time to time, do a little something on an oldie station.
Well, you get offered it, but I think I'm a realist. My life is sports.
Yeah.
I spend every day doing what I do. I research it a lot. I study a lot. You never know enough. If you're going to be on the air and say something, at least be able to know what you're talking about. So I really enjoy the sports. But certainly when I drive around and I'm listening to the radio, I still want to put my fist through the radio when somebody says something wrong about a great rock and roll record.
And, of course, we all of us here besides WABC, we've been watching you on the sports machine on Sunday nights for a long, long time. And you do a great program there. We should mention that on Channel 4 on Sunday nights. But, you know, when you came here, you were taking over for Cousin Brucey. This was as big as you were, this was a tough spot to go into just psychologically for the audience.
All right, Mark, if I go too long, just cut me off. But can I tell you the story?
Yeah.
Here's the story. I'm in Philadelphia. I've been there for 8 years, and I love it.
And you're a big star in Philadelphia radio.
Oh, the king of Philadelphia. I was the king, and I enjoyed it, and I loved it. And I love Philly. I mean, that was like home, okay? Well, Rick Sklar and the people at ABC decided it was time for Cousin Brucey to go, and Cousin Brucey wanted to leave. So they offered me the job, and I said, ain't no way I'm going to follow Cousin Brucey. He's a legend. And they said, yeah, but you're good. I said, no, I'm not following Cousin Brucey. So I said, here's what you do. I said, you go hire somebody else, and after 6 or 7 months, then I'll go to New York. I said, but not until people don't – I don't want to be the one to replace Cousin Brucey.
Yeah, but do you realize how risky that was? The other guy could have really caught on.
I didn't think so. The guy that's going to follow Cousin Bruce was not going to catch on. Sorry. So long story made short. Dan Ingram, who I knew very well because I used to promote records to him in St. Louis, Ingram starts playing Steely Dan, Ricky Don't Lose That Number, and he gave him my phone number. And he gave him my number at work or I'd have killed him. But Ingram would play every day, at least twice a day, Ricky Don't Lose That Number, and he'd say, Ricky Don't Lose George Michael's Number, which was Ingram's way of politicking for me to get the job. And I love Dan Ingram. I've always enjoyed him. He's just one of the best people in the world. And the fact is that I always say Dan Ingram got me my job at WABC because Sklar said, all right, we want you, we think you're the guy, and besides which, Dan Ingram actually likes you and he doesn't like anybody. So that's how I ended up going to work at WABC. I went there September 13th, 1974. I loved it. Did I ever get suspended? Yes, I did. I got suspended because I wouldn't play 3 Bee Gees records in a row. I was sick of the Bee Gees. Nonetheless, I enjoyed my time there. It was thoroughly enjoyable. I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
I don't remember you getting suspended. I don't remember even hearing about that.
Well, very briefly, Rick Sklar had this computer system. And he would have it go off by computer so that the top four songs got played every hour and 10 minutes, every hour and 20 minutes, every hour and 40 minutes. Well, all four of these little clocks went off at the same time, and it meant that I had to play four Bee Gees records in a row. And I said, I'm sick of the Bee Gees. I'm playing four in a row. So I reset the computers, and they didn't play for an hour, for 2 hours.
Wow.
And they said, did you do that on purpose? I said, you're right, I did. I'm sick of the Bee Gees. Because this was at the height of Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm sick of it. They said, that's a suspendable offense. I said, great, suspend me. I can go do more Islander games. They suspended me. I went with the Islanders in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we had a great time.
Wow. We're talking with George Michael. You know, it should also be pointed out, once you were established, you were in the toughest era of all because FM was all of a sudden very strong competition for AM and disco came in and all that. So you had the toughest role of all.
Well, Mark, I'll tell you very briefly, one of the nicest things that ever happened was that Rick Sklar drew up a graph of where we were in 1976 as opposed to 1970.
Yeah.
And I still got the graph in my desk drawer. Our ratings between 6 and 10 p.m. on WABC were higher than they had been at any time since back to the 60s, which was a tremendous honor because we were up against Tony Pigg and Pat St. John and my God, Wolfman Jack. And Wolfman Jack called me one night and he said, I'm tired of beating my brains out with you. He said, you sound like you really know this music. Do you like this crap? And I said, I love this stuff.
Well, wait a minute. Wolfman Jack said that?
Oh, yeah.
He always acted like he was the best friend of every artist.
Oh, no, he didn't like the disco music at all.
Oh.
He didn't, and that was the beginning. That was the beginning of Donna Summer. It was the beginning of the Village People. I mean, it was a wild time because we had such a cross-section of music. I mean, you had the greatness of Steely Dan. You had the smoothness of Elton John. There was Rod Stewart. And yet there was Rock the Boat, the Hughes Corporation. And yet there was also the disco music. And
yeah.
It was just... It was a wild, wild time. Do you know that before I would sign my contract to come to WABC, I said to Rick Sklar, I said, Rick, you only play a very few songs. I said, I'm going to have more leeway. I got to be able to play other songs. Oh, I can't grant you that. I said, well, I'm not taking a job. And he said, God, you're really stubborn. Do you love the music that much? I said, I will not sign my contract until you specifically give me permission to play When Will I See You Again by the 3 Degrees.
Well, that was a pretty big hit. That's not a far-out thing to ask for.
Well, at the time, no one had heard it.
Oh.
But I loved the song, and it was Kenny Gamble, Leon Huff. And I went to New York, and he said, all right, you can do it. I said, I'm playing it twice a show. And, of course, within a matter of weeks, the thing in New York took off, and then it became a good hit. But he said, why do you care so much? I said, because my life is music. I just love the music.
Well, now, he had had a nightmare before with Scott Muni, who wanted some musical freedom. So that must have really worried him.
Well, there was a big difference because Rick always said, you know, how do I know that there's not any payola or any favors? And I said, you call every record man. And I gave him the names of all the record men. I said, I pay for their dinner no matter where we go. I said, I've never taken a free dinner my entire career, and I've never taken a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
I said, so you don't have to worry about that because my thing, Mark, I just love the music. You got to remember, I was a promotion man for Motown Records when I was in college. And I love the music, and that to me was everything.
Yeah, see, I forgot that you'd been a record guy first. So you knew both sides of all of that.
Well, I represented Motown. I also had Scepter, which was the Shirelles and Chuck Jackson. I also had King Records, which at that time was James Brown. So I had some good artists and music that I represented. And being a white guy, promoting the black music in the Midwest was very tough. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved it. And I just had to tell Rick Sklar, I said, Rick, I've got to be able to be involved with my music. It's what makes me go.
Well, we're talking with the great George Michael. But now, all of a sudden, let's speed ahead, 78, 79. You have a real problem here because certain people love that disco stuff. Other people hated it. And for once, you had kind of like civil war in the top 40 audience there.
I will tell you, Mark, the absolute truth, and some people will resent it. We had a meeting downstairs, all the brain trust, ABC Radio and Dan Ingram and myself and a few others, and we discussed how much disco music to play. The decision was made to play the long version of a lot of songs. So we played 7 minutes of Fly Robin Fly by The Connection.
We played
Andrea True. We played the long version of The Village People. And the problem was because we had commercials, it was like you were all of a sudden doing blocks of 10-minute commercials, and we basically committed suicide.
Yeah.
And I knew by 1979 I said, you know, this has not worked, and it really hurt WABC. That's just the truth, whether anybody likes it or not.
It was controversial for the listeners because not only these long album cuts, but the jingles were kind of eliminated because of the length of the cuts. And
right. So we got away from who we were. And what WABC was a fun radio station that played a lot of hits and kept you company all the time. And when we got into 7-minute album versions of disco hits, people forget how many people hated disco.
Yeah.
And when they heard the long version of Fly Robin Fly, bingo, they were gone. Just like I'm gone today. You play the 7-minute version of Hey Jude, I'm out of here.
I thought I was the only one that hated that record nowadays.
I hate that record.
Oh, good. I've got some credibility behind my position now.
Absolutely.
So let's say WABC had gone the other way back then, stuck to the short hits and kept the jingles going and the pace. What do you think it would have been all right?
Well, I think it would have lasted for a certain amount of time, but as people got older, they changed their taste, and it's just like television. There were so many more channels coming in. With the FM, it was just a whole different deal. And I don't know if 77 WABC, as we knew it, could have survived. I remember the night that I decided to leave. I mean, I'd already made up my mind that I was going to leave. And we had a very briefly unpleasant departure.
Really?
Oh, sure. Because I went off and I did a hockey game, and I was told the Islanders were playing the Montreal Canadiens, and it was a deal in November of 1979. And I was told, if you go do that game, you'll be fired. And I said, but my deal is that I get to do Islanders hockey. And a man who I will leave nameless said, if you do it, you'll be fired. And I called Rick Sklar because they had fired Rick Sklar. People don't know that.
Well, I thought he had moved up high into the corporate chain.
Oh, like hell he did. They fired the man. They moved him up where they just didn't want him around anymore.
Really?
That's just the truth. See, everybody's afraid to tell the truth, Mark. They decided that Rick Sklar, it had all passed him by, and they were 100% wrong. So they moved him out. And when I say fired, yeah, they reassigned him.
Yeah, but this guy was a genius, and it was never the same after he was reassigned.
Thank you very much. Because the geniuses that ran the place made a mistake. Rick Sklar understood what to do and how to do it. Anyway, they moved him out, and I called Rick. I said, Rick, I said, if I go do this hockey game, I could get fired. And he said, so what's so bad about that, George? It's dying on the grapevine. It's not going to last.
Really?
I thought, wow, if Rick says that, it's time to go. And that was pretty much the end of it.
So, but what did he think? If he had been there, did he think there was anything he could have done to save it? Or
he felt that he probably should have fought harder to keep what was WABC the way it was, because you had the best disc jockey. I mean, Ron Lundy was the best. Dan Ingram with Kimo Sabe and Scrotum on a transmitter and all the things he did. I felt that I did a good job and I loved what I did. And Chuck Leonard was very successful, and we just had a really good and talented group. One thing about Rick Sklar, now he was not afraid to hire talented people. And talented people make your life miserable. You know, we always say about talent, you can't live with them and you can't live without them. And Sklar knew talent. I mean, Dan Ingram, folks, let me say this for the record. Dan Ingram was the most talented top 40 rock and roll disc jockey I ever lived with. Now, that's not just as me having worked with him, but you remember I grew up listening to him in St. Louis, because when I went to WABC, they all said, oh, the kid is here. Because I was so much younger than everybody. But I loved working with him. Ron Lundy, he was half as good as he had been in his previous life when he got to WABC. He got tired of fighting with Rick Sklar about how tight he ran the ship. Ron Lundy was a genius on the air. A genius.
You're talking about back when he was the wild child.
Oh, man.
On WIL.
The wild child.
Yeah.
And Rockin' Robin Scott, who ended up going to WCBS, Bob Dayton, he was a very gifted, talented guy. He was a victim of his own talent because he just could never be happy.
Yeah. No, he got fired because he made a little joke about Hiroshima.
Yes, he did. But he did a great job at WCBS.
Yeah.
Bob Dayton was one of those very talented. And the sad part is, Mark, I don't know whatever happened to him. I don't know where he is or if he's even alive.
No, I don't think he's still alive, but we'll check into that. Well, we're talking with George Michael. If all this trouble with the format in the late 70s, let's say 1979, WABC could have just moved over to FM. You think that would have been the answer?
We would have rock and roll, baby, forever. If
really?
We had moved over to FM, if they'd have put us on WPLJ and let us go rock and roll and have a great time, we could have gone on and on. And Ingram would have stayed. Lundy would have stayed. I think I would have enjoyed staying, although, you know, Mark, I love my sports, and so I don't know how long I would have done it. But I really enjoyed it.
But
you would have had to keep Rick Sklar. I think we needed Rick Sklar because even though he was very narrow-minded, He also had a way of soothing you and making you feel good.
Wow. Well, George Michael, it's fascinating talking to you. Can we do a part two to this sometime?
We can do part two anytime you want to do it, so long as we can tell the truth.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, I appreciate that honesty, and it's fascinating. That makes this interview all the more fascinating.
Well, there weren't many guys around. Let me tell you, folks, just my closing thought is this. I had the good fortune to grow up in St. Louis, Belleville, Missouri, the wrong side of the tracks, if you will. And I listened to Ron Lundy on WIL and Dan Ingram. And when those guys went to New York, I always said, boy, how great is that? Now, I had no desire to go to New York. I was in Philadelphia. I would love my life there. But Rick Sklar had me meet him under a Ferris wheel at Great Adventure.
What?
And he said, don't tell anybody, and you'll recognize me. I said, how the hell will I recognize you? He said, don't worry, you'll recognize me, and I'll find you under the Ferris wheel. And that's how we signed my contract.
Now,
he didn't want the New York media to know that I was coming from Philly to do the job.
Now,
I'd like to talk to you further, Mark, but if I told you anything more, I would have to kill you. So for the time being, this is George Michael, 77 WABC.
Well, thanks for being with us. We'll do this again soon in a few weeks.
All right, Mark.
Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
George Michael.
Oh, what did George Michael call this? The weekend national anthem. Well, it is the weekend. It's Saturday Night Oldies, and it's here every Saturday night, 6 until 10.
All hits, all the time. Music radio, WABC.
The music sounds best on WABC.